You're listening to the EndPod Debate Edition.
Thank you for the introduction, Lexi, and hello and welcome to the EndPod debate about experimenting on our ants. Now, before we start, I want to say that this podcast can also be heard as an audio version only. Link will be shown in the description. Today, we're sitting and talking with Jake from Antimatters, Lynn from Ninotudo, and Jack from Ants Major as our little special guest. And Jack, of course, you're not normally a part of the panel, so let's just talk a little bit with you. So, yeah, Jack. So all of those who don't know who you are, who are you?
My name is Jack. I am 19, so quite a young ant keeper. And I have recently got back into ant keeping after 8 years.
Oh. And there's one thing that's a little bit different from normal ant keepers to Jack. Jack buys every single ant he sees, compared to normal ant keepers who think what species to get and then buys them. Jack just goes out and gets all of them. How many colonies do you keep, Jack?
I was counting earlier. I think it's 27 currently, but I've got a couple coming tomorrow. So.
And yeah. When did you join the hobby back again?
I'm pretty sure it was July. I got a Lasis and a colony and kind of just went from there.
That's not too bad. Since I've known you, you've got like half of those colonies and I've known you for 2 weeks or three. No, I'm kidding. but Jack, I know you're the guy who puts Venator's Queens together and makes them all go out and fight, even though other people say you shouldn't do it. And that goes very well into today's podcast about experimenting on ants, because we have Lynn in the panel who have put Metabarbarous Brood into Cephalotus colonies. That's a little bit of experimentation. Antimatters is merging two different Formica Fusca colonies. And Jack, you also probably have done some experimenting. So, and saying that, Jack, what have you been doing? Have you been experimenting in any ants?
I'm on to my 4th and 5th Harpognathus colony now, as it didn't go great for me, but I did manage to merge a queen into a queenless colony, and it was a success, and they're still going today. They've actually got brood, well, larvae as of yesterday, which is good.
It's not so bad. So there's also some rumors that you are trying to... I keep saying rumors to everyone at the moment. I don't know why I'm so naughty. Since I started to meet you, you really just wanted mini trap jaws. I don't know the species. I don't know how to pronounce it. But you really want a lot of those colonies. And then you want to inbreed them to sell even more colonies or something? Tell about it.
The plan was to try and breed colonies together with when the elates fly, but unfortunately I did have an order of about 3 more colonies come in and that fell through, so we've currently sitting on 1 still that are currently pushing elates out left, right and center.
All right, so what's your idea if you get those 3 other colonies or 3 new colonies, how will you then make them mate?
Well, my plan was to, I was discussing a bit with you and you bounced some ideas to basically, because they don't need a big setup, I've got the colony I've currently got in a Mikushi small Gen 3, just have a big tub full of soil and leaves and just open the lids on all of them and basically just try and reenact the rain come in, as from what I've read, they fly at the beginning of the rain season. They all emerge to breed.
So all of these ants will then fly up and mate, and how will you catch them then?
I was just gonna put a lid on the top and hope that once they've I don't actually think they mate in the sky, but I
Oh.
might not be correct on that. It's all just a trial and error to see if it's even possible.
It's something to keep an eye out for sure. So I have in the past also been testing a lot of my ants. I've done my Lasius-Niger experiment, which although it ended as people expected in the beginning, I felt like I always want to experiment with my ants to prove something. So I've done my Lasius-Niger experiment in 2020, I think, where I had six Lasius-Niger colonies. I had two colonies with one queens, two colonies with two queens, and two colonies with three queens, basically. And that's against all the rules because Niger queens don't go together. And basically, after a lot of time, the experiment ended as people were expecting, with only one survivor queen remaining. But I feel like the reason I did that experiment was to help spread the word that this is actually a real thing, because before I started my experiment, when you search for two Lacious Niger Queens together, they would just find people who've put 15 Lacious Niger Queens together. And that was never a part two. So that's personally why I've done experimentations on my ants in the past. But Jake, have you done any experimentations on your ants? Oh, well, of course, we have the Fuskas, but yeah.
Yeah, quite a few. Where the Fusca, I merged them, but that failed and went terribly wrong. Well, terribly wrong this time. Might try it in future again, to be fair, to see what happens if like they've got no workers at all, any of them. But to be fair, the Fusca went bad. Done a few experiments on like Lasius Niger and like brood boosting, but with workers as well. And I've had some really good results out of that one. Like, if you just leave a Lasius Niger colony without a queen for I'd say at least 2 weeks, there's quite a good chance that you can literally just dump them into another colony. And
Yeah,
that
so
turned out quite well.
can you explain that whole experiment? Because I remembered when I saw your video, I was really impressed. So can you explain from start to finish, just in detail, what you did with those colonies?
Basically, I was doing a little experiment to see if hibernation, I think, because Ant's Hood was like, we're going to do a hibernation experiment with the Latias Niger. So I had 30 colonies and I had like 15 non-hibernated and 15 hibernated. But by the end of hibernation, a lot of the non-hibernation queens had kind of given up the ghost and died. So
Oh.
I was left with quite a few little workers, but they had no queen and they had brood and everything. And there was a few tubes, like a couple tubes with some workers and just brood, but no queens. So I left them quite a while. To be fair, the first time I left them about a month. But and eventually they kind of mushed them all together into a nice big colony with a nice fresh queen that I hibernated as well, because I think it does make a difference. So she got a massive head start. She's now at about 800 workers, I'd say, after about 1 year. Which, yeah, that worked really well though, like merging the Lassius with no queens with the Lassius with a queen. Went absolutely brilliant, to be honest. Also got the Tetramorium, but that one was an experiment, but I kind of expected the result because they merged like absolutely fine. And my leaf cutters, I've got a few experiments with them, just giving them food, but I also gave them a water drinker because nobody recommends giving them a water drinker. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to give them a drinker. And they absolutely adored that. And apart from that, is you kind of got the, you're experimenting with new species, which I don't know, you end up doing quite a bit sometimes, especially if you get the really exotic ones because they don't really have a guide. So you're just kind of hoping basically and winging it. But I do like when I've got a species that I'm winging it, I'll experiment with like one way of caring for it and just go with it and see what happens. And yeah, and then mostly just nests and the odd field experiment as well on like wild colonies. I know one colony, I believe it's Flavus, but it might be Umbratus, but I'm 99% sure it's Flavus, and the colony must be, it's a few kilometers square in area, but it's like a super colony. So one time I just went out with a load of tweezers and the likes and test tubes and everything and just started merging them from all over this super colony. And it turned out the whole thing was like one giant super colony, which was like great because as I was merging I'd like collect some workers and then I'd walk like 500 meters in another direction, and then I'd get some more workers and I'd put them together, and it just, like, they'd merge absolutely fine. I was quite blown away by that as well, because you just don't expect a Lassius colony to be probably millions of workers strong and taking up many football pitches worth of size. So.
No, and I feel like that's very, it's something we're going to come back to in a second, but I feel like it's some, nature is really amazing, and you don't necessarily know how amazing it is until you do these kind of tests to find out that they may all be one massive colony. But then we have the whole ethics of, oof, are you putting ants in danger just to test? But that's something we're going to come back to in a second, because firstly, we need to talk with Lynn. Hello, Lynn. What kind of tests slash experiments have you done on your ant colonies?
Oh, I need to think a bit. Ages ago in the past, when I got my first Formica fuscas, I had two separate colonies, and someone asked, are you going to put them together? Because Fusca can have multiple queens. And at that moment, I didn't think it through. I just tapped the new both new colonies out inside of a new outworld with a fresh soup. It was one colony with one queen and 19 workers, and one colony with one queen and 4 workers. And those two merged absolutely fine. Nothing on the head, nothing went wrong. So I guess that was the first ever experiment I ever did, sort of. And then I experiment around with brood a lot, because I have, of course, a lot of colonies. So what did I do? My Messer Cephalotus is the most well-known, I guess. I boosted her with Barbarous Brood, and that went absolutely fantastic. I've also tried to boost Camponotus Consobrinus from Australia with Camponotus Maculatus, Camponotus Ligniperda, and Camponotus Nicobrensis. Sadly, that all failed, and the queen seemed really aggressive, and every time she kept wrecking the pupae of the other species, so that didn't work out. And I'm also trying to captive breed the Camponotus Maculatus. This year, sadly, I didn't have drones in time, but next year we're going to try again, and hopefully with more luck. For this year, I actually have one queen that had this, made it with her brother. So she laid eggs, and one of those eggs turned into a larvae. But sadly, she ate that larvae 2 days ago, so now she is back to 4 eggs. I guess we're going to wait to see what happens. Either she will have a drone, or she will have an anitic soon, so... That's something that's going to be pretty interesting to find out what's going to happen there.
That sounds very interesting, not going to lie. And I think what you just said with also brood boosting experiments, that's also something I've done a lot, because when you have a colony that is dying or doing bad, brood boost can sometimes save the colonies, but you don't necessarily have the same species. I know, especially Wakushi, he has done a lot of, I think it's very interesting, a lot of brood boosting tests on his Saturday night talks. So he has these talks where he's just hanging out in the ant community. Join it if you want, I love them. And he's done a lot of adding this pupae to this and this to this. And it's really interesting to see who accepts who, because sometimes it can really save a colony. Now, I had my Camponotus singularis colony, and I tried brood boosting them with Nicobrensis brood, and they just didn't understand it. They kind of took care of it, but they just didn't understand it. And when I tried hatching a worker to give them, they didn't understand it. And when I then tried to put in a live worker, they killed it straight away. And that's because when the, as far as I know, when they open the cocoon, that's where they actually lick it and give it its own scent. So that's why you can brood boost with brood, but once you have workers, you start to have problems with the scent, as far as I'm aware, which I don't know, it's really cool to me. I think my two biggest experiments is the Lacius Niger 2020 experiment, but of course I've also done my Camponotus Ligniperda experiment, which is based around that you can't put two queens together because they will kill each other. But if you put them in a specialized Venus setup where the two test tubes are closed so only the workers can escape, the queens can't meet each other and they should just start their own separate colonies. which they did. The experiment was, in my eyes, a big success because the colony kickstarted with three queens instead of one queen, and they all did fine until one of the queens died for mysterious reasons. But I think that's also something we can talk about now, because when you are experimenting with ants, it's important to have the ethics with you. Because are you just doing this to kill the ants? Or at least as a content creator myself, I get a lot of attention when I'm doing things wrong. Like getting Solanopsis geminata, that's your cost. A little bit of, yeah, a lot of people reacted to that at least. But yeah, Jack, you are half and half a content creator. And I know, of course, quite a few of your experiments. Is it something you talk about public, or is it just something you do in your little land cave?
Oh, I'm happy to talk about it public, but I've got a couple things I'm thinking about trying, but I'm yet to try.
Fire away. What's up?
I'm planning on getting 5 honeypot queens this year's nuptials, once they get into the country. And with the plagosops, the cherry-headed cherry-headed giant honeypot ants, apparently they're somewhat related to Latis niger. And my plan is to see if I can boost queen with Latis niger cocoons and see if that will work.
That sounds very special.
It could be risky, but I'm all about science and trying new things to see if it works.
I mean, that's 5 queens, I guess.
I'm also planning on taking some naked pupae from my Fidole nodus and putting it in with my Fidole Solcaticeps queen and worker. That's the other one.
So if you're sharing these experiments normally, do you ever get any feedback? Is it just positive feedback, or have you received any, like, why would you do these things?
I haven't spoken about them yet, because I was only speaking to someone the other night about them. But I've got a 2-queen Manica rubida colony with 1 worker currently. I was speaking with Lynn about it, and it more than likely will fail. But the only real way to see is to test it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that is with experimentation. Personally, I like seeing people experiment as long as there's a little bit of a reason behind it. I know sometimes it's hard to see your reason, Jack. but yet again, it's also, if you're just experiment to experiment, you may see something very interesting, like, will this Latius Niger Queen actually... No, will this Honeypot Queen actually accept Niger Brood? Because that may be a better way from us European Ankeepers to actually kickstart a colony of honeypots a lot easier. We just don't really know until things are tested. So I personally really like that people go out to do tests. But as a guy who makes videos, I've also received a lot of hate for actually going out, because it can hurt the colonies, and sometimes you... Well, like when my Latius Niger experiment started to fail. So to explain the experiment, the first few many months, both the 3 queen colonies, as far as I remember, the 1-3 queen colony, I think one of the queens were infertile, so they ate and ruined all of the eggs for all of the 3 queens, so they just never started. The other colony got their first worker, and then trouble started, and they never really kicked off. No, hang on. I think actually the second colony did well. The second 3 queen colony did well. But one of the 2 queen colonies and one of the 3 queen colonies did well. And those queens actually survived for way longer than people expected, because in the wild it's documented that they can found together to improve success rates. And that's kind of what I wanted to document. And it ended up taking about 1.5 years before the workers starved the queens and killed them. At least that's what it looked like from looking at the gasters and stuff like that. And of course, people were hating and saying, oh, we expected this to happen, but I still thought it was very interesting to follow the progress and see how it actually turned out, because it wasn't as I expected. I thought that they would just kill each other straight away. I hope they wouldn't, but that was what I personally expected when I hear that they wouldn't survive together. Antti, or Jake, have you received any hate or negative attention regarding experimenting on ants?
I don't think so yet, although I'm always kind of quite careful on what I disclose. Like, if I've done an experiment and, like, the tetramorium, like, merging, I won't really tell people about the experiment, but I will tell people, like, I do think they merge pretty well, if you get what I mean. But haven't really received any hate yet, but it's probably because I haven't told people all the experiments. I always try to keep them morally okay, though, but it is a bit hard sometimes, though, because it's like, what are the morals with ants? And, like, where do you draw the line on, like, cruelty with your ants? But I do try to avoid needlessly killing them, though. That's definitely something I do avoid.
I mean, I think it's quite interesting because I received a lot of backlash when I tried to add two Harpognathus venatus colonies to each other. I had a colony that arrived with a dead queen, sadly, and I got a colony from another store with a lovely little healthy colony. And looking back, I should just have kept them separate. But I decided to merge them because everyone I told, I think I asked like 10, 15 people, and I talked with people in the comments, and I think two people were against it. And the other, like, 14, 15 people I heard from that said that they can just go well together without any problems. Then I put them together, everything went bad, and people were so upset online because I started an ant war. And of course, I want to do it a little bit clickbaity, but when I'm doing my experiments, I'm doing them for the sake of the colony and not really for the video's sake. But as a creator, I always also keep the video closely to monitor everything, because unlike you, Jake, I try to keep everything just as public as possible. That's always kind of my thing, but I do understand your way. I mean, your ways is way smarter.
Yeah, one of the things, I think we should bring it up now, because it is quite a well-known misunderstanding, I think, but I also tried to merge some harps, and yeah, it didn't go well at all either, because I don't think they genuinely merge very well. Basically, though, they kicked one of the queens out with one of her workers, and she was forced to live in the outworld in a drinker for a bit, and I don't think they ever accepted her in the end. But yeah, it didn't go very well at all, merging the harps.
So that's quite interesting, because Jack, you've also merged, or tried to merge. How did your merging go?
Hang on, Jack, wait.
Can you just explain your whole harps history? Because I think you've had three colonies in total. Can you explain the whole theory? Five?
I've had five Harpognathus venator colonies over the last, I think, 3 months. And it started off with a two queen, about 30 worker colony I brought. And then when it came to moving nests, they got really stressed out, wouldn't move into the new nest, all stayed in the outworld. And the next morning I woke up to 25 dead, including one of the queens. So I was down to one queen and about 7 workers.
Did you pressure them to moving, or how was the situation?
Yes, I did pressure them. They wasn't really doing anything for the first 2 months that I had them. They ate their broods, and then they plastered the whole of the top of the chambers so I couldn't see into anything. And I ended up getting a little bit impatient, I'm not going to lie about that. So I took the acrylic off the top, and there was no eggs at all. They kind of just barricaded themselves in. And I thought maybe changing the nest might work, but they are quite a sensitive species, and it went downhill. And then I moved them into a smaller nest now, because I couldn't warrant putting them in this new nest, because it would have been way too big for them. And then the queen died, the other queen, she died, and two of the workers. And then I thought to myself, I might as well just buy another colony at this point, because why not? We're going to try again. And when they arrived, there was 14 dead, and all that was left was a queen and two workers. And this is the first time I decided to merge together. And that didn't go too well. The one of the workers was rejected and was killed before I could get there in time.
Oh.
But then the queen and the other worker were accepted. But then the queen died a month later. She did.
Yeah, but it's also very strange.
Yeah, they are very strange. I was keeping them dry, a lot drier before, but I found that they kind of like it really saturated with the two colonies I've got now, and they seem to be doing very well.
Yeah, so what happens? So now you had one colony with a dead queen, or did you have two colonies with no queens, both of the colonies then?
Well,
to continue
at this point, because the colony that I had ordered come pretty much all dead, they sent me out a new colony, so I had that colony sent out, and I thought to myself, I might as well have a little go at merging this one queen, two workers, and it went all right. It did. And then it failed a month later. And then the new colony come. So I then attempted to merge the new colony with the old colony without queen. And the queen of the new colony was the one that wouldn't accept any of the new workers. And then so I left them two. And then I ordered a third colony. A third? I think it was a third or a fourth. I'm not too sure. And they did merge with the old colony that didn't have a queen.
Why did you... I want to say the reason I'm laughing a little bit is because all the way through, I talked with Jack and I kept saying, I don't think you should do it. And he's like, I'm going to do it. So that's why I think it's... Finally, looking back, so now you're ordering your fourth colony. Why did you think that merging now would be better than the other times?
I don't actually have a reason for it. It was a gut feeling that maybe it would work this time round.
And did it then?
Yes, it did.
Oh.
Oh, well, that would make it my fifth colony, actually, then, because I've gone through five and had two successful. I'd say successful. They're currently going well.
And I think that proves why sometimes experimenting is good and sometimes it's bad, because clearly out of our, I don't know how many colonies we've had to combine then, but like eight colonies or something, only two of the, I don't know, five merchants have been successful. But that also just shows that you can merge them. And
I think it should be very hit and miss.
Yeah, exactly. You can merge them, and you cannot at all merge them. I think what went wrong with my colony, something you also noticed, that you had two very different size of workers from the two different colonies. And I can't remember who had talked with the thing. It may have been Wakushi who said that. It may be because they have been captured in different regions of... their country or neighboring countries, and that's why they're so genetically different. Although they are the same species, they're different species almost, because my colonies were also one of the workers were very big in the new colony compared to the old colony. And I remembered with you, Jack, you had the same issue, or not the same issue, but the same. But that's some of the things there is with experimenting on ants, that you just sometimes you win it, like Jake discovering that half the world is owned by the same lazy flowers colony. Just goes up and down.
Hi, it's Lexi from Pour More Art. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ant Pod, and please visit my Ant and Spider Shop at www.pourmoreart.ca. We're a Canadian business shipping ant and spider keeping supplies worldwide, specializing in test tube accessories and a variety of hybrid formicaria, glass outrolls, and enclosures. Enjoy the show.
So Jake, do you have a... You said that you don't... I think what... Oh yeah, now I remember. Sorry, I'm rambling. I think what you did, what you're doing with not necessarily sharing all of your experimentations are good, because if you are sharing all of your experiments, you may get a lot of backlash like I'm often receiving. Maybe...
and it's merging seven colonies or whatever it was. I got a lot of hate.
Back when.
I'm going to merge together all of these things. And it was like, oh, what are you doing? Like, don't show everybody this.
The funny thing was, back when he did that, so it's Ants Canada, he got seven carbon triangle colonies and put them all in one arena so they could meet, and a war started, of course. The funny thing was, just as he did his experiment, I did my experiment with carbon triangles, and mine was successful. Only difference... I merged my colonies straight from the get-go, so as soon as one worker hatched, it could meet all the other queens, where he waited till all the seven colonies had different scents and smells. And I think that's what he did wrong. But that's also just shows that mine was quite successful. Now, Ange Czech also did an experiment. I haven't followed up too much, but I remember that he got workers. And as far as I remembered, they also interacted with each other. He had like a little 3D printed nest where the queens, if I'm not wrong, could actually touch each other's antenna or something. Either way, I find it very interesting to following experiments. The one thing I don't quite necessarily understand is just doing experiment for the sake of doing experimenting. I got five Hellacious Flowers queen together because I found five queens and I realized I didn't want to have Hellacious Flowers colony, so why not just put it all together? And that was actually a very successful colony, and I enjoyed it quite a lot, even though I just in the beginning captured them because I didn't know what to do with them and they were queens. But we also have, I think Ange Czech also put 50 Lacious Flowers queens together, and that was very bad. It ended in just a lot of problems. I think it was Ange Czech, but that was mainly due to if you have infertile queens, they may ruin it all for the other queens. So yeah, it's interesting to experiment for sure. Did you have anything to add, Jake?
I think that's it for the minute. Right. Yeah.
Well, did you have anything to add, Jack?
We've got very similar names. We have. as far as the latest flavors go, when I first got into ant keeping, on my first nuptials, I'd caught, I think it was 22 Lacius Flavus queens, and I kept them all together. And it did turn out to be a very successful colony after they killed 10 of the queens.
Damn.
And I was down to 12. And then later on, another four died. And by the time I released them back into the same area, I caught them. I was at 8 queens. And a couple hundred workers.
All right. I think it's good when you are doing experiments to actually show your research online, because it can help prevent other people from doing it. I now know 3 people just from talking with you that have done the Lacious Flowers with multiple queens. And Sviena have done it, and he, as far as I know, it is going well. He put 13 queens together, I think. Which I personally thought would fail because I thought there would be too many queens. But it seems to be doing all right. And Jack, you had a little bit of experience right there where it was a little bit like my experiment. My 5 queens slowly died one by one. I think my personal belief was I didn't feed them enough and they decided to go for queens because they were very skittish and scared of going into the outworld, which was my own mistake. And then we had Ange Czech who put 50 queens or something together, which just didn't at all work. But Lynn, you're kind of the Ant guru. And you kind of follow a little bit everything in the hobby, as far as I know. Do you see, what's your thoughts of experimenting on ants? Because you must see a lot of children around the place do funny experiments.
Well, for me, it's like if it's a very well-known fact, like Lassie's Niger, multiple queens will fail, then why would you? Yeah, of course, for the sake of YouTube showing everybody that it can't be done, it's okay for once. But sometimes there's kids and they watch the video, they know what's going to happen, and they're like, oh, I'm going to try it anyway. and then I'm like, but why? You know, and they're like, yeah, it's just Lassie's Niger because those you find them anywhere anyway. But in my eyes, it's just wrong that way because they're animals. They're not toys. They're living creatures. You should treat them as living creatures. But with some experience, like Manika Ribida, I actually know about two queens because I've tried two queens because of the challenge, and that was actually my little experiment that I totally 100% forgot about, which I also never mentioned anywhere online except in the anonymous Manika Ribida chat, apparently. I just found that out. So I'm actually kind of curious what will happen to Jax Manika Ribida, if they will also fight, the workers will also banish one of the queens, or if it will actually work for a longer time or whatever. So that's a bit my view. Like, if it's well known that something's going to happen and you try it anyway, it's just a little bit stupid. But if it's not well known, like merging certain species or trying to brood boost with other species, because sometimes it has been successful and sometimes it fails, yeah, why not?
I think I couldn't agree more. So initially, when I did my experiment, when you search two queens together, you got a lot of different things. Now, when you search two Lacious Niger queens, you find a lovely little clickbaity picture of me saying, don't do this. And then it says two Lacious Niger queens together or something, which is perfect because people shouldn't do it. But I can totally relate to what you're saying, Lynn, because after I did my experiment, I saw people online was like, oh, I want to see if my results are the same as you, Anne Holofer. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But the big problem was it went so well for so long that I just had a brood boosted Lacious Niger colony. I had three queens and they were doing better than a one queen colony. So I see why people would try to recreate it because it looked successful. And even though the queens died in the end, it was still a very nice brood boosted colony almost, but it was a naturally boosted colony. But yeah, it's interesting for sure. Yeah, it also makes me wonder with the Lignaperda experiment, now that the Saturn is a thing, if you get a large Saturn specialized so none of the queens can escape, could you then keep nine queens in one colony? Have a nine queen carbon triangle colony? That would be cool for sure to try out. I think overall, it's just a little bit of having the ethics and why you're doing the experiment. So I tend to kind of have meaning behind it. But like I think Jake and Lynn said in the beginning, when you get a new colony, you have to kind of experiment your way forward to see what they like. Like with my bullant, I'm doing so many experiments with feeding to see what the bullant likes. Because every time I come over there, she goes out in the outworld, just kind of looks at me. She's actually very cute because I've hand-fed her sugar almost. I put cotton in there and I dropped sugar while she was just staring at me. And then I took the sugar out and she went over there and started drinking. So that was almost direct contact. But no matter what that was a very, very lovely moment. I should do a video on that. but it's my a lot one. Of... Huh?
My one scares me a little bit currently. She eyeballs me from 3 meters away, waving her antennas everywhere. Every time she goes out into the outworld.
I mean, mine also scares me. But she kind of knows to just wait at the door. She's just sitting at the door looking at me, working when I'm emptying the trash or something, which I find very cute and cool. But I'm experimenting a lot with what food to give them because she doesn't accept anything, and yet she comes out in the outworld expecting something. So I'm trying a few different things without any luck at the moment. She may just not be hungry, which is an understandable reason. But we always do different experiments. Now, Lynn, can you go a little bit into the whole Mesocephalotus Metabarbarus experiment to share your words?
When I got my Cephalotus, she had some route. I don't remember if she had a pupae or not. I think she had, but that worker, that pupae, died pretty quickly, and I was scared that I would kill my queen by accident, because they are really expensive and they're beautiful and just want to succeed, because I know a lot of other people had queens and their queens died randomly or just after some time. But there are not many cephalotus colonies in the Netherlands. There are not many cephalotus colonies altogether, I think. I know of one giant one from a German guy. So I wanted my queen to succeed. I want a good colony. I'm not even sure how I'm going to manage it because I don't have space, but I want a good colony. So I was scared that she would die by accident. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to boost her with Barbarous Brood, because why not? If she eats it, it's okay. Then she has a meal. And if she doesn't eat them, then I might have Barbarous workers with her. So I ended up boosting her. I don't remember what setup I had at that moment. I think it was just a plain test tube, or maybe the Venus.
Yeah, Venus with the weird test tubes.
Yeah, it was it was Venus at that moment, and she might have eaten one or two pupae, but the others, because she was full, she just left them. And those, of course, enclosed, and they started to act like regular Barbarous workers. They cared for their other brood. They were actually collecting the seeds and making ant bread, and she was happy because she had ant bread. And then another person's cephalotus died, and they had workers, they had broods, and he was like, yo, you want to have this? I was like, yes. So I got cephalotus boost. I was tempted to add the workers as well, but those workers were actually fully matured cephalotus workers, so I was a little bit scared that they might kill the Barbarous workers or the queen or injure any of them. So I just took the brood, so they have this massive pile of pupae and larvae from the other cephalotes. And then the first cephalotes worker closed, and it went all as normal. And she was actually two times as big as the miners, and maybe like one head bigger than the medias from the Mesobarbarus. So that was awesome. And everything went well. They were doing their own thing. They were actually caring for the brood better than the Barbarus was, because the Barbarus is a little bit skittish when it comes to heating. But cephalotes is, of course, they know the region that they're from. They know the heat that their brood can handle. So they started to pile up the brood at heating. And the Barbarus didn't really care. They were more working on the food and on the seeds, because they were now older workers than the younger workers. And everything still went well. Pretty much one or two Barbarous workers eventually died. I'm not sure what the cause was, but they passed away. And I'm pretty sure I still have Barbarous workers with her. And now I also have multiple cephalotus workers with her, and they are doing really well in the Saturn. I moved them into a Saturn. Actually testing, experimenting if the cephalotus queen can move through the Saturn. But so far she has not moved the tubes yet. She's still in her own tube. And I'm still debating, I say this every week, if I want to add some more Mesobarbarous brood to see if this will also be accepted or not, but I've not done so yet.
You just gave me a really cool idea, Lynn. So going on the basis that I think it's, of course, very clever that you didn't add the cephalotus workers. I think they would have started a fighting, because they would be two separate colonies. But the reason my brood boosting with my Singularis failed is because I brood boosted them with cocoons. Now it just makes me wonder, if you put any random ant colonies together and just give a young colony that can't eat all of the... I mean, it's of course you sacrifice the life of random workers, but if you can harvest like Fusca workers, they have the naked pupae, put them into a Niger colony. They may eat a few of them, but if it's like a one queen, three worker colony, they can't eat more than one or two. But the Fusca workers in their naked pupae would still hatch. I would be really interested in seeing what actually happens, because of course Mesocephalotus and Mesobarbarus is a little bit similar because they're both mesogene. but what if I just take another Messer naked pupae and put it inside another small colony? It sounds really interesting, because the reason my cocooning experiment failed, or brood boosting, was because the Singularis didn't want to open the cocoon, and that's why it got old and died. And when I tried opening it, the worker started wiggling around, but it needed an ant to actually go in and lick it and uncover it from the stickiness. And the workers never wanted to do that. And if I had the life worker, like I said earlier, they killed it. Which was something I tried once, and I didn't like it. But it makes me wonder rather you can brute boost naked pupae. Jake, do you have anything to add?
Well, I was just going to say on that, I'm not 100% sure you really can, because I think they kind of all speak their own little language, and it'd be like, say, like one of us going to China and just being dumped there, if you get what I mean, with like absolutely nothing and not actually speaking Chinese. Like, there's a possibility that they could like thrive, but I think the issue comes when it's like, oh, I've been told this by this ant, but then the other ant will be like, oh my god, that's like a bad thing or something, if you get what I mean. Like, we should all get hyped up, but I don't know, it all gets a bit miscommunicated between them, I think, after a little bit.
Yeah, I would love to know how ants actually, how they would communicate, because if you took a baby and put it in China, you would just have a European baby who would learn Chinese from the get-go as they grow up. Because, of course, if you put a young child 5 years old, you'll have a lot more problems. But if you put a baby over there, they will just learn to live. And that's what makes me really curious, because what happens if you put two... I can try putting a Messer barbarus. I mean, the problem is I don't have a nest that's easy to harvest. I don't really have colonies in Venus or Saturns that are harvest-friendly. But it would be cool, because I would love to see if the ant will wake up no matter what. Will the other colonies just kill it? Or, I mean, they may just kill it, I don't know. But it would be interesting to try, because if you have a small colony of Lasius Niger, they wouldn't go out and try to kill. They would rather protect. And if you just have a baby that suddenly wakes up, confused. I would love to see someone do this, at least. If there's someone out there with a Fusca colony or something, a colony with naked brood, naked pupae, and a young colony of something different, please tag me if you're trying this experiment. But only do a few babies at a time, if you are able to go out with despair. This is the thing with experimenting, because if it just turns bad, you have just killed colony members. And like Lynn said, I feel incredibly a lot the same way, that these are still animals. And even though you're killing a baby, I can't see anything but you're killing a baby that the ants have worked hard to getting to this final stage. The worker have worked hard to growing, and the colony have worked hard to nourish this. So I personally am not a fan of experimenting that much on my own ants, unless I can see that the death risk is very small. What do you... Jack, let's just ask you, Jack, what do you think of this experiment? You think it would work?
I was just scheming in my head, thinking about if you could brood boost a Manica rubida with Mimica rubida. Is it rubida?
Rubra. Yes, you can.
That is good to know.
The question is, would you also be able to do it with naked Fusca brood? Or is it because it's Myrmica brood? Dun.
I'm not too sure. I've never kept any Formica species, but it possibly could be done if we're saying that once the ant emerges out of the pupa stage, then it obviously gets its scent from the workers in the colony.
I mean, even just Mr. Barber's workers, they also have naked... The only demand is you have to get a naked pupae so the ants doesn't have to work with a cocoon.
Yeah.
A bit hyped.
It could possibly... I'm guessing it will probably work with other... I'm guessing it would work quite well with... African Messer species, brood boosting with Messer cephalotus, as I've got a Messer Angularis queen, and I was just thinking about that. You could, because they're a lot similar in climate. I don't think they're from the same country, but they're the same continent, anyway.
All right, Lynn, share your thoughts.
Well, we are talking about naked pupae, and we're talking about the same country. Well, we know where Singularis and Mutilarius Camponotus species come from. Do you know about the naked pupae from Camponotus maculatus subnudus? And how these might be possible to boost with Singularis or Nicobarensis or Mutilarius or whatever other species arrogance to make it crazy. They're small also, so they won't be targeted as easy. And subnudus breeds like crazy. They have so much brood. So it's so easy for them to just miss a couple of pupae.
Ah, that's cool, because I didn't know any Camponotus species that had naked. Is it all Maculatus subnudus, or is it only some of them?
It's all of subnudus. That's why they're called subnudus, which translates to naked.
Ah. Oh, that's cool. That may be a colony. I mean, can you think in 5 years' time, every time you have a colony that struggles to get, every time you have a carbon trend that struggles to just get a little bit of a subnudic naked brood to add in there, the worker wakes up confused that the colony can't kill it and they take it in. It would be cool. And again, that's I think we are about to end up the podcast, but I think that is actually a cool thing to end off with, because it may just fail and we will forget about this forever. But if someone does it and it's successful, and someone else does it and it's successful, it may be something that could have saved my Singularis queen. And for people out there who may be tight on budget, it can't be saving a real saver if you can actually brood boost a colony, because I think my Singularis colony died because it had two majors and a queen, and the majors didn't know how to take care of the brood. And I was recommended to remove the majors, but I don't like removing ants and killing them. Or not killing them, but putting them in a way forever. But if I just had some subnotus, Maculatus subnotus brood, and added it in, the worker may have just woken up, gone in, taken care of the brood, and they may have been alive. They may not have been, but yeah, that's the thing with experimentation. You never know. All right, Jake, final thoughts on this week's topic?
Well, I think we've hit most of the things, but I do think everyone should experiment a little bit with their ants, for sure, though. Like, just make sure that you keep it all kind of for the best of the colony sort of thing. But if, especially if you've got a colony that looks like it's on its last legs, like that colony you're just talking about, then it's kind of, as well, you've got the option of, like, they're going to die anyway. So yeah, maybe a little experiment. It's, you haven't got as much to lose, if you get what I mean. It's sort of, it's more worth a try. Kind of like if you had a really bad illness, like, and there's no treatments that are formally out there, but I don't know, you can sometimes get a little bit of, like, research treatment, and you've got to test it, I guess, at some point to see if it works, like.
I mean, I think that's some,
have the guinea pigs, and if they're gonna, it sounds really bad, but if they're gonna die anyway, I guess it's, you kind of creating more value from a bad situation if you maybe do a little bit of experimenting. Like, it sounds really bad, though.
No, I mean, it doesn't at all, because that is what you do in real life as well with cancer patients. If you have a new experimental method, you can sign up to try it on if you meet the right circumstances and demands and all of those weird things. And then yeah, you can put your own life in risk, but it may help or it may not worsen your situation because you're in a bad situation already. Yeah, that is some very valid points. Lynn, final thoughts on today's topic?
If you want to experiment really badly with native species, try and experiment with heating them a little bit, and you will see how much difference it makes when you heat native colonies.
All right, lovely small words there. Yeah, always cool to go out and heat the colonies and see what they like. All even just adding a heat cable is experimental. Because you need to find out what the colonies prefer. Do they like the hot side, the cold side? That's an experiment right there. Jack, final thoughts. Special guest, Jack. Final thoughts on today's topic.
I said I wouldn't get any more colonies, but after speaking about this tonight, I think there's going to be a lot of experiments in 2023 regarding some of the topics we spoke about to see if it does work regarding brood boosting different species.
Yeah, I really, if all of you out there, if you are thinking of doing this, please tag me or send me some messages. I would love to see people actually doing this. I think my final thoughts are I'm really kind of hyped on this whole, again, it may just fail straight away and then it's the dream is dead, but I'm really hyped to see rather adding naked brood to different colonies actually can help. Because I thought there wasn't anything that could save my Singularis colony. They ate, I got brood boosted with Singularis brood, so and Antics sent out some Singularis brood and they actually took care of it. And then they ate it a few days later. Even though I fed them same day and they went out to feed on the same, and there was just the mages that didn't know what to do. But if that had been some weird answer that just woken up, could they have done things differently? We will never know. All right, so that has been it for this podcast. Now we'll go into our little final segment, which doesn't have a name and probably will never have. Lind, what is your weekly ant broom update?
Let's see if something happened. The I cannot speak this name, Xiangbang Multilarius, whatever. They accidentally opened one of their pupae yesterday. It was way too early and the pupae died. It was still white and naked and everything, so that's sad news. But they got eggs, so that's happy news. It was a little bit all over the place. Don't remember if this was last week or this week, but one of my yellow crazy ant queens died, so that's also sad news.
So that's some of the ants, Lynn. How about the cephalotus? How are they doing?
They seem to be doing really well. They are actually moving their brood up and down the two tubes that they have available because the heating is different there. And there's a lot of larvae and pupae and eggs, so I really expect them to be blooming really soon. And then we have the pogo myrmex beside those. I've finally, for the first time now, I see a worker actually out in the outworld foraging. But their tube has turned pink. So that means that there's bacteria growing there, but it's probably nothing to worry about. It's really being overhyped by Ants Canada that it's dirty and dangerous, but I don't think it is at all. And yeah, the other colonies seem to be doing well.
Lynn.
Yes.
Famous last words. All right. All right, Jake, how is your ant room news?
Well, the Campanotus arrogans, which I've been keeping everyone up to date with, it's still alive. Amazing. I think it's maybe been 2 or 3 weeks now, but I'm still quite surprised that they're still alive because normally Campanotus go downhill fast for me, but I have kind of modified the incubator pretty much just for them. The other day, they said now I have an incubator inside of an incubator, which is quite nice. But yeah, super steady temperature now, so fingers crossed they should not die. I'm not going to say they should grow because that's pushing it, but yeah, fingers crossed nothing bad happens to them.
So are you on the lookout for any more ants, or is it just stable at the moment?
Only the polyrachis. I don't know how you say it, bimata or bimata, like, because yeah, I just love them. But to be fair, except for that and Polyrachis ypsilon, I'm pretty good on the ant front, so I'm gonna try not to buy any more for a little bit.
We'll see whether that sticks up or not. All right, Jack, what about you? Do you have any exciting ant room news?
Well, the Hoplonapis venator have now got their first larvae as of yesterday. And that's pretty cool because I've gone without larvae for the last 2 months. And the Myrmoteris Bing army have got 4 alates now. One male, 3 females. So We'll see what happens there. And all the right. I've got the leaf cutter pod set up, so we'll be getting leaf cutters very soon.
Before AntCon?
I'm trying to wait to AntCon, but you know what I'm like.
Yeah, I mean, you said you were gonna get bull ants next year, then summer, then next month, and this was all pretty much this was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and you have them now.
Yeah, she came yesterday, 6 days in transit.
How was she?
But she seemed to be she was very alert. After about 20 minutes, she was in the test tube moving around. So I thought that might be the best time to get her out that test tube and into a dark nest. And she seems to be happy in there. She, as far as I'm aware, she has eaten her eggs during shipping.
Yeah, which is understandable if it's a long one.
Yeah, especially with the snow last week.
Yeah, it was unlucky timing.
That had me worried the most.
Yeah, I mean, so when I talk with Ant and Co, who sold your colony and also my colony, they were like, no, we don't necessarily heat them because if you cook them, they will die, and they will do all right in cold weather. And I was like, and then I got them, and yeah, my colony was fine. That both the larvae had survived, and they are doing very well now. An update to them is. We still have one cocoon. I'm expecting it to open any day now. The queen still has eggs, but she's more active than she's been for a very long time. Since the larvae spun its cocoon, she's been very inactive, but now she's going crazy and she's very active again, which is annoying because I don't know why she's out hunting. Because I feed her a roach, she kills it. She puts it in the trash corner and goes home, which I don't understand. but else... My Solenopsis geminata, which I've received, are doing quite well. They are already now, I've had them for about a week, and already now, they are scarily aggressive. So, I mean, I have the Wakushi pod connected, and there's always workers out there just looking. So, I almost need to attach a very small outworld soon, even though there's only 20 workers in the colony. But they're just so small, they just run when I open, so, yeah.
They are so cute. They're so cute.
Debatable.
they are. Yeah. I had one running up my arm the other day, and it just wouldn't go back into the pod. Flammable, oh.
That's my view on it, but burn them all.
People were not happy that I got them on social media, that's for sure. People were very annoyed. But yeah, else the Venators have eggs, no larvae yet, and the Trapjaws don't have any eggs yet. But that's been, I don't know, Casey, can we get an audio check from you, Casey? Are you here? I'll take that as a no. So once more, Casey, I've had a little bit of difficulties, which is just how it is sometimes. But guys... We have reached the end of this podcast, 37. Now, 38, sorry. 38? Yeah, 38, I think. And it's a little bit of a sad one, because the AntPod will officially take a break. How long it will be, no one knows. But sadly, I don't know what's happened, but I've just too much going on in my life at the moment, I feel. It's not like I use more time on my ants than usual. I guess I do, but... Yeah, I sadly don't have time to keep up with it's minimal editing and it's minimal doing thumbnails and all of this, but it was enough to tip the boat, so the AntPod will be taking a break. Maybe forever, maybe for a few months, maybe for a few weeks. No one will know. I know for sure that I'll do a podcast at AntCon, maybe one before and maybe one after, to hear Lynn's and Jake's and my live reactions after the day. And also Jack, of course, if Jack wants to join. So we will have a podcast right there. But yeah, guys, I want to say thank you very much to Casey for joining ever since episode 9. In episode 9, at the AntPod returned, and I requested new co-hosts. Or I asked if anyone wants to join, and Casey jumped in like a lovely little man. And I said, no, 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 we can't get you. I mean, I didn't want to get Casey, but he stuck with it. He didn't care that the time zones were there. I was a little bit worried. And I was very happy that you were so consistent, Casey, because it's been lovely having you here on the podcast for all of these episodes. It's been lovely hearing so much about American Ankeeping, because before that, I've only really seen videos, but to actually sit down and talk with an American Ankeeper has been really interesting, just because your whole Ankeeping ways is so different. So, yeah. And, of course, around episode 20, 23, 24, we had a little bit of a change up. We lost Sam. Sam just kind of disappeared. And Ryan was a little bit too busy to be here in the podcast. But Sam, he had a little bit of a personal stuff, and then he came back, but he never really came back. So, but yeah, it was really good having Sam and Ryan on the podcast as well. And then, of course, we had Jake and Lynn join. So yeah, Jake and Lynn, I also just want to say thank you both for being here for all of these episodes. It's been lovely with your minds and your mindsets and different ways of going in answering questions. I really feel the Antpod have been a little bit more special with multiple people on, because we've had these multiple thoughts. So yeah, Jake, do you have any final words on this Antpod taking a break / dying forever?
Well, I think it's definitely been like a pleasure to be on the show. And so big thanks, Oliver. Big thanks to everyone else out there as well for not complaining. but it has been really nice just, yeah, sitting down on a like Wednesday and just chatting about ants, to be honest. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, yeah, thanks, Oliver. And I hope that, we've got the AntCon one, but even if it's every, like, few months, I'd hope it doesn't fully die. And you know where I am. Like, if you ever want to do, like, a little episode. So I guess if we ever find any extra special topics, like, maybe yeah, we can make a I'm few half, more.
I'm halfway thinking of inviting Rikushi in to do a special one once Gen 4 releases. And maybe just every time a store releases like a new headline overtaking generation of their products. Of course, I don't know what Gen 4 will be like, because he's very secretive, which is I understand that. But if it's all revolutionary, we may do a special podcast with Rikushi once Gen 4 comes out as well. We will see. Lynn, do you have any words to say to the AntCon to the Ant for taking a break?
Well, I'm hoping next month I'll just get a message on Instagram saying let's do a podcast this week. That's what I hope. And it will be maybe a monthly thing or something, or every 2 months or every 3 months. I don't even care. I just want them to continue. I really enjoyed doing the podcast. I really enjoyed listening to them when I wasn't even a podcast member. Even though my brain goes all over the place while doing a podcast, and I don't remember the questions often as they are asked, but yeah, it's really nice to sit here with you guys every week and just talk about ants, because yeah, I don't normally talk much about ants except online, but it's really something different. And yeah, I just hope that next month will be back or something. I can only hope.
I think it's really funny having you on the show, Lynn, because I've talked with you for so many years, and I've never really heard your voice a lot, and I've just seen your name. But it's been fun actually talking with you and getting some proper live voice chats, hearing about how you just forget your mannequin repeaters in the background and all of this. So it's been funny hearing a little bit of the other side than just text you. But yeah, guys, I want to say thank you all for being here on the podcast, and thank the listeners for listening in live. Of course, Jack, you are our special guest. And Jack, where can we find you if people want to find you?
I am on TikTok mainly, but I have started up a YouTube channel now. I am also on Instagram, and I'm on most of the Discord groups.
All right, so if we just go to YouTube and search Jack, we'll find you then.
No, you definitely won't. There'll be about a million other Jacks to search through.
So what do we search for?
I'm pretty sure it is ants_major. for my YouTube.
That is at least your name. Yeah, that's your name here on Discord at least. So, with that being said, I want to say thank you all for joining. And thank you for listening in. The end part will officially be taking a break. And yet, if there's a topic you would like to hear about, the Instagram will still be checked. So send a message to the Instagram if you have some topics you would like to hear. And with that, you may or may not hear more from us at the end part next week, next month, next year. Who knows? Have a lovely day, everyone. And thank you all for listening in.